All righty, we only have three today. The first one, somebody sent in a quotation out of a book called The Story of Redemption. I'm not going to read the whole quote, but it describes in this, the author in this book described a situation after the fall of man in heaven where Jesus goes in on three different occasions and has a conversation with his father back and forth between the son coming and being our sacrifice, and it looks like a struggle for the father to allow it. And the question is like, how I think the questioner asks, could you help me understand what is happening here? I'm having a hard time with Jesus having to go to the father three times to get permission to save me and so forth. And from this dialogue, and the way I would recommend you understand this is first, you actually have a real good sense of the whole Bible. The Bible is our foundation of faith. And when you have the whole good sense of the whole Bible, you will actually understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his son, but how did he not give him up with him all things? And God was in the son reconciling the world to himself. And if you've seen Christ, you've seen the father, and Christ is an exact representation of the father, and on the lists go, that you will discover that there is no difference in heart, character, motive, method, et cetera, between the father and the son. And with that in mind, then you go, well, then what is this conversation about? Put yourself. And so this particular struggle that people have when they read this, it is an indication of how deeply people have been affected by the penal legal systems of this world. Okay. Because let's move the scenario for a moment and see if you then read this differently. Here's the scenario. You and your family have a child. You, your husband, you're the wife, husband, and you have a large family of multiple children, and one of your children has gotten in a caving accident. They're in danger. They're not dead, but somebody has to go in there, and it's highly likely that they it's very, very dangerous. You could die going in there to save this child who's in high danger, and your oldest son volunteers to go. You're the parent. What would your words be? Sure, go ahead. Or would you go, no, son, no, let me go. You stay here, I'll go. And this is what I see going on here, that it wasn't an argument about whether God was going to save humanity. That was never the argument. The argument was, which member of the Godhead is going to take up the work to do it and go through the suffering and the sacrifice to achieve it? And there are reasons why ultimately the Son is the one who came, and we won't go into those now. But this is the way I understand this conversation. They were always for us. They were always intent on coming. But there was a discussion, just like in your family, which one of us is going to go into that cave and risk their life to save the person who's trapped? Okay, because you all love each other so much, you would rather be the sacrificial one than have the other one sacrifice. That's my understanding of what's going on there. Okay, and then the next question is, just listen to your design for more on love came down. So very insightful. Thank you. Question, where does the love we have for our pets come into play? Can we give pets the same deep love? Should we love them differently than humans? So my understanding is that the world in Creation Week was created as a microcosm of the universe, with Adam and Eve made in the image of God with procreative capacities to create beings in their image, standing as the representative of the Godhead over the rest of creation, and the rest of the animal species on the planet were symbolically, in of sorts, representative of all of the other beings. I mean, you think that's demeaning, but how big is the gap between, let's say, Adam and a dolphin or a chimpanzee or a dog or a cat? I mean, there's a gap there. Now, which is the bigger gap? The gap between Adam and a chimpanzee or a dog, or the gap between Adam and God? Okay, God is infinite. We're not. So whatever the gap is, it's much bigger between God and angels, God and you and me. And so my understanding is that Adam and Eve were to govern this planet in the same way God governs the universe, which means that they were continually being sources of love and beneficence and grace and goodness to all of, and when they had their own children, they would have loved them in that same way, but they were also to oversee all the other aspects of creation and the animals with love and care as well. We see this in the book of Jonah. You notice this very interesting thing. When Jonah's upset that God didn't destroy Nineveh, you know, he says there's 180,000, I think it says, children and untold numbers of cattle and animals in the city. They're listed there as so. Yes, we are to actually love and care for the animals, not just our pets, but all of the animals of the earth, because we are to be stewards of God overseeing them. But human beings are set apart as a unique creation, created in the image of God, and therefore we will never be able to love animals in the same way we can love humans.
Yes.
Because animals will never be able to enter into the depths of understanding, comprehension. You'll never be able to get the joy with your dog of solving a math problem. You'll never get the joy from your dog of sculpting a sculpture and having them appreciate it. You'll never get the joy of your dog of having worked and just built a house that you wanted to build and the project to share. So the sharing of meaning and purpose and vision and planning and a future, animals can't appreciate all that. So they cannot enter into the depths of love and appreciation. They also cannot procreate with you like a spouse can. So there's multiple levels of love that you'll never be able to have with an animal that you can have with a human being. And this is part of the lesson as well, because creatures cannot enter into infinity and under the depths of the love that the Godhead has for each other. So there's a gap there as well. So yes, we're to love animals, but no, we're not to love them on the same level as human beings. And then the last question, Lamentations 4:10, would you please help me understand this text? Could a mother really eat their own children? And that's a text about Lamentations, and there's other places. Yes, that's actually happened in history. In starvation situations, you can find a story, I think it's in Kings, about this very thing, where women actually killed their children and ate them. When it's terrible siege situations and starvation and why are these stories there? What is it manifesting? See, the fact that you're having repulse to this is an evidence that love is working in your heart. Because when love is working in your heart, greater love is no man that they give his life for a friend. Love would never do that. Love would sacrifice to save the other. However, when you're not reborn, when the spirit of fear and selfishness, which is survival drives, are dominating the person's life, then when push comes to shove, you kill others to save self. And that's what's happening. It's a revelation in this world that people will kill their own children to save themselves if they haven't been reborn. And that's what the Bible is demonstrating. That's the infection of sin. All right, guys. I'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.